This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree Payments. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more, go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, the beautiful Suncast. How you doing, John?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
How was your weekend?
It was interesting.
Why?
I drove down to this one area where there's a Charmeleon nest for Pokemon Go, and it was quite the experience because there's so many people down there just hunting this one specific type of Pokemon.
It's still a thing.
Like,
huh?
Somebody would yell out Charmeleon, and everybody would go running, like a whole group of like 30 people.
Oh my God.
To wherever this guy shouted that he found one.
Oh my God. Did you find one?
Yeah, I found about 30 of them.
Oh my God. Did you evolve?
I did.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I did.
You're evolving every day. And
I evolved.
John Prosser from Front Page Tech.
Hi,
how you doing, John?
I've returned.
Congratulations.
I've
returned. The FTP podcast, 100th episode.
FPT.
FTP.
You're one of those 14-year-old kids that mess it up.
It's an FTP server. Is that not what the show's about? Just setting up FTP servers for wares?
I hate to break it to you, Andrew. I hate to break it to you.
You're kidding me. The entire time I thought it was about setting servers up for wares. What is Z?
Yeah, man. And we've known each other for how long, and you thought this the whole time?
The whole time. I had no idea. Wow. I had no
idea.
I'm
disappointed.
John Prosser. John underscore Prosser on Twitter. You can follow him there. And Front Page Tech is also on Twitter as well.
Yep.
What is it? FPT. What is it?
At From Pitch Tech.
Okay.
That's it.
Excellent. All right. I don't know.
At FTP server.
So tired. I called John yesterday really drunk, too, on the phone. And I also called him on Thursday, also really drunk, in a cab.
Yeah, you did.
I had a nice
you
chat.
You call me
about
like
him.
4 times a week, you know?
I do. Now I call
we
you
need
4 times
bro
a week.
Talks.
Yeah, bro talk. Locker room talk, as Donald Trump would say.
Right.
Guys, a lot to talk about, and we're doing a show on Monday today because I'm traveling to California this week, and I wanted to guarantee that we discuss this.
Look at you, world traveler.
Yeah, I was in Boston. I'm in California this week. I'm going to Jupiter next week. Constantly traveling. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Samsung debacle. Samsung ends production on the Galaxy Note 7.
Can you believe that this is still going on?
Like, it's over.
How many weeks has this been a debacle?
Well, this has been gradually getting worse, and at one point they thought it was over. They thought that they fixed this thing, and apparently not, because a replacement phone caught on fire. 23 replacement phones caught on fire, and I guess the big story was the one that was on that plane that
the Southwest
yeah
Airlines
the Southwest flight that flight. Happened to explode. The phone caught on fire. So John, Suncast, go into this as to what is going on here. Why did this become such a big problem? What do we understand? I mean, you and I, and I've spoken to a couple other people about what kind of is the idea as to why this is happening. But the reality is Samsung is having problems on their own troubleshooting this.
Yeah, the working theory from people familiar with the story and everything that's going on are just, you know, speculating is that it's a combination of things. One of which is the fact that they have this battery, and it's a combination of things. And one of it is the battery is it used to be a 3,000 milliamp battery, and they've increased the capacity to 3,500 milliamps, but they didn't change the battery size. So now it's just it's not able to hold that charge when you're doing a quick charge. So the combination of the increase in capacity and the battery just not able to contain that charge when you do a quick charge, that's the working theory from people that are speculating about what is causing this. However, Samsung's own engineers, and they've got like 100 people that they said are working on this issue, can't come up with any problems on their own in internal testing.
Yeah. John Prosser, what's your take on this?
This, to me, this is just super sad. Like, I've been reporting on this for so long, and it already, it sucks for Samsung because they are, like, the brand when it comes to Android phones. And they built up this reputation for years, and it's crazy how quickly that reputation can just go right out the window after a few bad weeks. And it just sucks that, I mean, the first recall was bad, right? They had the phones come back in, and it was kind of tacky and sketchy with how they handled that, since they didn't officially like work with the government and all that stuff. But then when they started issuing those replacement phones, and then those started having issues, it was a whole different ballgame. And like John said, like they cannot like actually replicate this issue in labs. They can't get it to happen.
How? So what does that mean? What does that mean?
They don't know what's causing it.
Because the big scary problem is, forget about this phone, right? Let's forget about the S7. It's the Note 7. It's over. So how about the Note 8? How about the S8? If they're going to continue using the technology that they're using now, how can they guarantee that their entire lineup is not going to be affected by this? Because they do share components. That is a thing that Samsung does.
Well, they have to figure this out before they release another phone. They have to figure out exactly what caused it so they know what not to do.
Oh, my God. It is...
It's a debacle, yeah. Because even now... Okay, so as a result of this, they temporarily shut it down. Then what they did is, the timeline was, they temporarily halted sales, then they stopped sales, and now they've stopped production. And now, in order to return your device... it has to be shipped back in a fireproof box.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Not only that, but also the U.S. has banned all Note 7 devices on flights. You cannot take this phone on a flight whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a federal crime now.
You cannot take it on a flight.
No, it's banned.
Wow. So the other
thing, and you have to ship it back in that fireproof container. Yeah, in that fireproof case.
So what Samsung has also done is that they have added some of the features from the Note 7 to the S7 and S7 Edge. They've updated some of the software. So most primarily, it's going to be the display software, the always on display. That's going to be the thing that they change. They're slowly saying that it's going to, you know, they're going to slowly bring it over. But essentially, you're going to get more options as far as, you know, the layout of, I'm looking at mine right now, actually. I just saw that I have an update here. You could kind of change the way that this looks and, you know, the way that the update is.
You don't
is.
Have the Note 7, do you?
I have the S7 Edge.
Okay.
I have the S7 Edge. I don't have the Note 7. So I don't know what the difference is, actually, from mine in this one. It's interesting. I got to play around with this. But they're bringing some of the features here, and I guess this is the replacement phone, right? This is what they're telling people to get.
Well, it's the closest thing from Samsung to the Note 7.
But if you really think about it, it is not a suitable replacement. It's a very different phone. Yeah, they're kind of close, but it is a very different phone.
Yeah.
And this is not good for them. I'm a little concerned.
It's rumored that it's going to cost Samsung about $2.3 billion.
Well, I read
a lot
upwards.
Of money.
I also read upwards to $3 billion. So
yeah, I mean, nobody knows the exact number, but it's between $2 and $3 billion. And then you also have the environmental impact of what are you going to do with all those millions of devices?
You know what Paul Thurrott was saying? He was saying, well, apparently, there's going to be a factory that these things are being stored in. Right?
What a f-ing mistake.
So, can you imagine you're shipping every single one of these in these fireproof boxes to Samsung at some warehouse, and God forbid, one catches on fire and it continues and it ignites? it's crazy to think about how this one phone has impacted this company so much, but... I'm not really concerned for this phone. I'm concerned for the future of Samsung devices.
Well, yeah, like, okay, so right now it's going to cost them $3 billion, but that doesn't even account for next year. They're not going to sell as many phones as they want to. There's just, this is going to be over their head for at least a couple years.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. This is going to be an interesting story that's going to continue on.
Okay, here's a question, Andrew. Yeah. Since you like Samsung devices... let's just say next year the S8 comes out, or maybe a Note 8 or whatever. Are you willing to buy the device on like the first day?
No, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I always did it with the S line. I had the S6 and I had the S7. And I was planning on the S8, but now I will most likely wait, you know, until I start seeing, you know, some discussions online. Let's talk about our sponsor, and that's Braintree. Maybe you're working on the next Uber, Airbnb, or GitHub. Why not start with the same simple payment solution that helps all of these companies become what they are today? Braintree makes a phenomenal mobile payment solution that makes it fast, easy, and seamless. It's almost magical. Add it to your app with just a few lines of code, and you're instantly ready to accept virtually every payment method, Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, all major credit cards, even Bitcoin, and whatever the next payment solution will be. We see all these things pop up. We're hearing Samsung Pay, and almost every company wants to take a payment, have their own payment solution. And Braintree is totally customizable. So that means when there's a new payment solution, be sure that they'll be willing to accept it. Braintree also gives you full stack payments. Gives you a full stack payment solution, so it supports all different types of payments, obviously, that the customer wants. Also, it's across all different platforms with unbelievable superior fraud protection. Your customers are always safe. Customer service and fast payouts. They have great customer service, actually, for if you're developing. I actually got an email from somebody that had to call them. They had some issues with what they were planning on doing. Not that there's anything wrong with the code, but they were doing it wrong. They called them. They fixed it. Boom. Done. Here's a great thing. Go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW to learn more about the service. If you are a developer, if you're a business, you have to check out Braintree. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. I want to thank them for supporting the show, for, of course, supporting the GFQ network. So do we have John Prosser back on the line? I don't think
we should.
So. We should. No, we do not. So why don't you start reading the next story, John?
So Amazon's long-rumored streaming music service is finally here. This is something that we've heard about for several months now, since probably the beginning of January of this year. We heard that Amazon was looking at doing some sort of streaming competitor to, you know, Apple Music and Spotify. They officially have launched it now. It's called Amazon Music Unlimited, and subscriptions in the U.S. start at $3.99 per month for users who own the Amazon Echo device. And from there, it moves up to $7.99 per month if you're an Amazon Prime customer. And if you're just neither one of those things and you just want to outright get a subscription to Amazon Music Unlimited, it's $9.99 per month, which matches the same price as everybody else.
So
it's very interesting that they're doing this. They're tied it in a lot with Alexa so that you can do certain things like ask Alexa, you know, to identify a song based on lyrics that you remember, or to play certain music based on a mood, and it'll actually do that based on your mood that you requested and other parameters that, you know, it'll actually listen to what it is that you like to listen to and start playing back stuff similar to that. Or you can also just request something like 90s hip-hop or happy music, and it'll play all that as well. So this is very, very interesting that they have these tiered plans for Amazon Music Unlimited, where you get a little bit of a discount if you're an Amazon Prime customer, and if you're just wanting it on your Echo, and it's only for the Echo at $3.99.
So
that's the only device that you can actually play Amazon Music Unlimited on for $3.99.
So I have an Amazon TV, Amazon Fire TV. Can I play it on that?
I don't know if you can. You definitely wouldn't be doing it for $3.99 because that's the Echo exclusive price.
So you could, like, I like this because I hosted brunch at my house on Saturday, and I literally went searching for brunch music. So with this, you could access lists like dinner with friends, like not just 90s hip hop, cooking with 90s hip hop, indie dinner party. it's very specific for the music, and I kind of like that. John Prosser, what do you think?
Howdy.
Hi,
I don't know, for whatever reason, Skype just shut itself off, so I'm glad it's working now. But for Amazon Music Unlimited, I really, really like it. I would say that as long as the libraries are somewhat similar to what we would expect with Spotify or Pandora or whatever, or more so like Google Play Music, then I think it's definitely worth the price. I see a lot of people complaining, at least on my show, that it's disappointing to them that they have to still pay if they're an Amazon Prime member.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
kind
just,
of understand.
It's not the same. But I would say that like the only thing that, for instance, Spotify has over this so far that I can see is just the discoverability options. That's it for Spotify. So like I said, as long as they have a similar library, I think this is a really great option.
Yeah, I think the library is pretty similar across the board. I really, really like the fact that you could access access libraries, access lists that are very specific. Like music for dinner party or happy music or dinner with friends or cooking with 90s hip hop. You know, I like that they've kind of, it's very specific compared to just 90s hip hop.
I would be interested if John were to actually do a review of this, because I know that John has actually done a review, a month long review of Google Music compared to Spotify. Yeah. So it would be interesting if you were to actually do a month-long review of Amazon Music Unlimited to kind of compare the three.
Done. Consider done. I'll Wonderful. Do it. Because, I mean, just by the... I mean, it looks great. The app looks great. Again, as long as, like, the library is kind of similar, I'd probably use it.
Excellent.
See, I'm not in the same boat because I'm very much into that discoverability part of Spotify. Right. And that's
I do too,
literally
yeah.
my favorite thing about Spotify is being able to discover new music. I love Release Radar and I love Discover Weekly. Just having that constant new music.
Finding new music.
Of similar stuff that I like to listen to given to me on a weekly basis. It's just awesome.
You know, I always compare this to the Reddit front. I like discovering new content. I like discovering new things. I like learning new things. So something like the Reddit front page is more appealing than going only to subgroups and just hanging around, you know, topics that I really like. I want to hear other opinions. Same as discovering music. I want to kind of go beyond my taste in music. I want to find new things.
Right.
That's why Spotify, for me, too, it's great. This is interesting. I'm curious how this is going to play out. I've seen... The Echo, you know, people use the Echo with music. Majority of people that I know just use it for music. So this is just another perk for them, really, if they want to ditch out the $3.99. So I see it. Sunkist, going to another story.
So this is another interesting move that Verizon has made. They're introducing what they're calling Pop Data, a 30 and 60 minute all-you-can-stream LTE session for $2 and $3. So here's how it works. Basically, if you need unlimited data for a certain amount of time, either 30 or 60 minutes, you can pay, you know, $2 for a 30-minute session or $3 for a 60-minute session of unlimited data. Now, this unlimited data does not count against your current data plan. It's just unlimited data for either 30 minutes or 60 minutes, depending on whichever session that you decided to choose on, which is kind of interesting. So let's say that you needed to do a large download for some sort of presentation and you're just mobile and you don't want to burn through all of your data that you have on your plan. Let's say you have 4 gigabytes, but it's probably a 2 gigabyte file that you need to download. So for 30 minutes, you could have unlimited download for $2. And they're calling this Pop Data, which
so
is very interesting
download?
That they're doing
this. Is this only download, not upload?
It's just unlimited data, period.
Unlimited data.
For,
so
for those specific times.
Yeah, so here's a great example. Let's say we're doing a live event and I'm on location and I need to use 4G to connect back to the studio because I don't have a wired line coming in. This is a great example.
However,
of
this does not work with hotspots. It only works on your phone.
Yeah, on your phone. Yeah, no. I wouldn't use a hotspot. Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it. I get what you mean now.
So, yeah, I don't know if it would work if you're tethering, if you're doing a wireless hotspot from your phone or not.
I would assume that.
I would imagine it would, but if you actually have one of those mobile hotspot devices, I don't think it would.
Yeah, so I'm saying from my phone, right? Like, I would do a hotspot from my phone, pay $3, stream for the hour or so, and it wouldn't have an impact on my data. This is actually great. I'm just trying to think what other scenarios this would be good in. John Prosser, what do you think?
I made a couple jokes on my show when I talked about it that, like, I don't know if you're planning on watching a bunch of YouTube videos within 30 minutes or you're planning on downloading a lot of porn within 30 minutes. This is I think it's better than what T-Mobile offers, which is something similar where T-Mobile offers, quote-unquote, unlimited data, but it's not really unlimited. And if you want really unlimited, then you can pay for 30 minutes or so to get actually unlimited data. So I like that this isn't like any sort of false advertising. This is, okay, whatever plan you have, it doesn't matter. If you'd like unlimited data, it's easy to get $2 or $3 depending on how much time you want. I think it's a really cool option from Verizon.
Yeah, this is actually interesting. I guess, you know, they're just trying to figure out ways to make more money. And what real world experience? I'm trying to think. If I need to buy this, like, why would I need to buy this?
Well, I very much feel like this is something that's aimed at business users and people that are in business that are, you know, away on a business trip and they forgot a file that's a large file that they need for work.
I guess so, right?
That's just what I see it being used it for.
Okay, so you got to download a large file for work.
Or, you know, somebody wants to watch Netflix
for an hour or so on their phone.
When they're on a trip or away from home.
Yeah. Huh.
I guess it could also be like, I don't know, if I was on a trip, I don't really have any data issues anymore. But if you had like a limited data plan, 2 or 3 gigs a month, and you were on a trip or something, and you needed to use data to download an app or watch something or whatever, and instead of paying whatever it is, $15 for an extra gig that month, you can just, right in that moment, pay $2,
pay the $2
and do whatever you need to do.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that works. Like, I know for a fact, because I'm traveling all week, I'm going to use a ton of data on my phone. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it would be a good time, like, sometimes I can't connect to upload my photos. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't work. So maybe I could connect, use that $3 if I'm at the airport. I would upload the photos, and I would also watch a YouTube video while I'm waiting, and then it would just turn off. I don't know. I don't really see a use case that would be popular and something that people would use on a daily basis, you know, as far as a consumer, but
it's not meant for a daily basis.
Yeah, it's
meant for either 30 minutes or 60 minutes at a time.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, 60 minutes at a time, I'm trying to figure out, like, how... Like, I know how I would use this, and I absolutely love it. I have phenomenal Verizon service in New York City. I'm getting 40 megabits by, like, 30 megabits download and upload here. I would 100% use this for streaming back to the studio if we're doing anything on location. I don't have to worry about bringing in a line or if their internet isn't good. And we've done this in the past. We did a show from CBS and it was a problem. We couldn't connect to Skype via their network. So I brought up my phone, I hotspotted it, and I was streaming right to the studio like that. For us, this is awesome. I just don't know if, you know, an average person is going to use us.
I see if the average person knows that this exists.
Or if they know that it exists, yeah. Or that too. Suncast, going to another story.
So Microsoft is holding a Windows 10 event on October 26th.
Yes, they are.
And they announced that they're going to hold this in New York City at 10 a.m. The company didn't get into any specifics on the invite or social media posts, but it's basically their yearly update timeline for new service pros, but we really have no idea what Microsoft plans to do at this event.
Maybe someone does. I will be at this event, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, possibly.
Looking for free stuff?
Waiting for free stuff. Yeah, that's what I want to go. Yeah, we've heard new Surface Pro. We've heard new Surface Pros.
I've heard a lot of things, but like nothing's ruled out and nothing's really ruled in.
How about a Surface All-in-One?
No.
No? Okay. You want to bet money on it?
No.
Okay. John Frost, you want to bet some money on it?
No, I mean,
Well, listen, it's Surface time, right? So it's Surface time, new Surface Pros, updated Surface Pros, probably with KB Lake. Is what I'm assuming. We've also heard some rumblings that there's a Surface All-in-One coming. I highly doubt we're going to see the Surface Phone being announced or launched. This is more...
Windows Phone is dead as far as I'm concerned.
So sad. You know what? That Elite, that HP Elite Windows Phone that they just released is a great example of a great idea with Continuum. It works really well. It serves such a great purpose. It's just wrong. It's the right device at the wrong time.
Well, it doesn't matter how great the device is or how great
the OS is. You know what doesn't matter? You, John Prosser. You don't matter.
It doesn't matter if there's no apps for it.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
We live in a world of apps. The operating system on a phone that we use doesn't matter. The operating system is a tool. The apps are what people are using their mobile devices for. And if there's no apps in the marketplace, why use it?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put out a Surface phone. I don't see that being announced, but I do see possibly a new Surface 5.
It'd be a money loser.
Yeah. Let me see something here. While
there's not a big enough market for
But is there a big enough market for an all-in-one device? John Brock,
it's just a niche thing that they can put in their portfolio.
Maybe if you just sit it like at the back of Best Buy somewhere where some old man walks by it and is like, oh, I want that.
Yeah, I mean, the Surface all-in-one device, I really see that being the thing that they announce. And I don't know who's buying all-in-ones. I don't know. I would never buy an all-in-one. I have no urge to buy an all-in-one. So
then I think you just answered your own question.
But see, this is my problem with this event. It's just like, okay, what are they going to announce that I'm actually going to be interested in?
For you, nothing.
I don't see them announcing anything that I'm going to be interested in whatsoever.
You would not be interested. You personally, I highly doubt you will be interested in anything that they announce.
And that's my problem with this event.
Yeah. I don't think that it'll there might be an announcement of a streaming game service also, guys. Have you covered this, John Prosser, about Unreal?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
That might be part of the announcement.
I think this is kind of indicative though of Microsoft at this point. It's just like a lot of people and a lot of interest is just kind of lackluster at this moment, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, like they've done a lot of damage with the way that they rolled out Windows 10.
I'll tell you something. That Surface Book, though, I hope they announce an updated Surface Book, because that is a great laptop. It's a really good laptop. Like, seriously, I seriously considered buying that. I just don't want to buy a first gen device, so I'm not buying it. But the next generation
I've
one.
I've used one.
You have. What'd you think?
It's really good.
Yeah. It's a really good laptop.
It's very impressive from like a hardware standpoint from Microsoft.
Yeah. I think the point of this is that we're going to really get an updated Intel chipset. They need to update from some Skylake to Kaby Lake. That's really the main reason for this. They have to put that new chipset in there. Also, the Surface Book 2 is believed to come with a 4K resolution, and 3D display, including USB 3.1, faster data transfer. Rumor also claims that the device will sport a one-clip and office hub feature. In addition, the hybrid laptop is also expected to be released along the side of Surface Pro 5 and a possible Surface All-in-One. So this is the event. I will be at that event. Actually, so I'll be live tweeting from the event.
Drunk, of course.
No, I'll be sober. It's too early to be drunk. I got a question for you.
Are we going to bet on that?
Yeah, I got a question for you. When is that Apple announcement going to happen? That October announcement, John Prosser.
Do you think I'm friends with Tim Cook?
You know stuff.
It's just sometime in October is all I know. I don't think we've had any official invites yet.
Interesting that it's being delayed so long.
I'd probably say around the 28th.
Yeah, I would say around the 20th also, but I mean, that's 11 days away and we have yet to get that.
Right.
They could do it on the 26th.
They could do it on the 26th and totally screw them up. Yep. I would not be surprised by that either.
Well, when we get invites, it'll be like a week away from the actual event, most likely.
Yeah. So we got a couple days to find out. John Suncast, going to another story.
So this is kind of interesting. So according to the New York Times, Yahoo reworked its malware scanner for email surveillance. This is something that broke a little over a week ago following a Reuters report that in 2015, Yahoo scanned customers' emails for U.S. surveillance. And the New York Times followed up with details from a source of its own saying that, yeah, they reworked their malware scanner for this email surveillance. So this is kind of interesting that they're actually saying that, we scan email for the U.S. government for surveillance purposes.
Yeah. Is anybody surprised here, actually?
No. No.
Mm-mm. I'm not either.
So Yahoo says they were responding to a court order under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, that governs the PRISM program exposed by Edward Snowden leaks. This is all kind of interesting and just not a reason that I think Yahoo is doomed at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that they're still relevant. Isn't that amazing?
And see, and I think Yahoo made another boneheaded mistake in this, in that once the story broke, a lot of people were looking to get out of Yahoo email, and Yahoo was like, oh, no, you're not doing that, and it shut off its email forwarding service that people were using to forward emails after they left.
Yeah.
So they got caught doing that and said, oh, we're sorry, we'll turn it back on. And it's like, really, Yahoo? Really?
I got a question.
This is at a really bad time for it too, because Verizon was thinking about acquiring them.
Yeah, well, Verizon.
And then they had a bunch of they had that big data breach, and now the whole email thing, and they're not going to be worth much.
Hey, so I got a question. Who the hell uses Yahoo email still?
No one I know.
Apparently, people do.
I guess it's like legacy use, old people. Like, I know someone.
No one that knows. I'll give you an example.
Dave Meltzer, John Prosser, Dave Meltzer.
Okay, Dave, what about him?
You know who he is, right? The greatest journalist in pro wrestling history. He uses Juno.
You say the greatest journalist of all time.
The greatest journalist of all time. He uses Juno as his email.
What?
DMeltzer@Juno. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know why. Actually, I got a question.
That still works?
It still works. Juno still has email. Let's Google it.
Well, that's my Juno, because that's just what he's been using.
That's what he's been using. But what a weird!
I haven't used that since probably 1997.
I'd assume it'd be hard after so many years of like pushing that email address, and you're in the public eye, and then switching it on them.
I mean, I think that's crazy to still have a Juno email address. But, you know, think about it, right? How many people, think about how many different legacy email systems have existed. How many people have never switched over? You could still get a Yahoo email address. I'm sure there's a whole line of them, a whole bunch of them. I don't know anybody that uses that at Verizon email, you know, like, but I have one.
So, my girlfriend has a Hotmail account.
She uses a hot, you know how many people, if I see an email come from a Hotmail account, I ban you from emailing me. I never want to see a DellWilkes@Hotmail.com. Del Wilkes, the original Patriot. Suncast, what is your most legacy email address that you have?
Probably Hotmail.
You have a Hotmail?
Does anybody have an AIM account?
I probably still have an AIM account. I have an AOL.
Really?
I have
well,
my
that's AOL. Not. That's not as embarrassing.
No, I have an @AOL because I had AOL. I'm trying to think what else. I had AOL CompuServe. I had a CompuServe email, which I think there are people still with CompuServe emails. I'm guessing you could still get a Prodigy email.
I have a Roadrunner email from when Roadrunner was first introduced from Time Warner Cable in like 2005.
I'm seeing, let me see, Prodigy. Prodigy Online Service. I think it's AT&T now. I wonder if you could get it. I would love the @Prodigy email address.
Why?
Why? Because I'd be awesome. You would have to look at it and go, oh, Prodigy? Every time. This is great. Nothing older, John?
No. I know that there are people that still have AOL email addresses.
I have AOL. Yeah, that's me. I'm one of those. But I never use it.
It's just weird.
I just never use it. I just hung, you know.
Like, I'm sorry, but like, to me, if you got, you know, an AOL, Hotmail, Yahoo, whatever email address that's that old, and it's just like, okay, so
but who
you're not
goes,
really...
I'm going to give you an example. AOL.com has a 207 Alexa ranking, and they're ranked 55 in the country. So they're the 55th most popular website in the country, in the U.S. Who are the people that actually go to AOL.com every day.
Old people that have it as their homepage.
Old people that have it as their homepage because they installed some weird app, some weird plugin on Windows, you know, 98, and it's still there. All those people are still going to AOL.com. But, you know, it's a nice landing page. It's, you know, it's everything you want. I guess there are people that go there. It's prettier than Reddit. You know? I'm trying to get into my AOL.
Everything's
prettier than
Reddit.
I'm trying to get into AOL, actually, right now, as we speak. I don't care how long this is going to take me. We're going to do this right now.
Playing a dangerous game.
Let's see if it'll say you got mail.
Hold on. Okay. Mail. Can I sign in?
Glad you got mail.
Where's the sign in button?
It did say it. Did you hear it? It said it.
Yeah.
It says, we're glad to see you back in AOL Mail. It looks like you haven't logged in for more than 180 days, so we have to freeze and purge your account due to inactivity, which means you're returning to an empty inbox. Unfortunately, there's no way to retrieve the email once it's been purged. You son of a bitch.
Oh yeah, I just signed into mine.
Did it?
I've got the same message.
That's amazing.
Wow, there's still people on AIM right now. They're logged into AIM.
Embarrassing.
I'm gonna write something to someone. F.
Tell them they should feel bad for themselves.
I wrote F off, turd.
Turd.
All right, I just sent someone an email, a message. Let's see if it'll come up. Wow, this is crazy. There's still people on AIM. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, guys. Guys, so let's wrap it up for today. Everything John Prosser. Where can people find you, John?
@John_Prosser on Twitter, frontpagetech.net, youtube.com/frontpagetech, or @frontpagetech on Twitter.
So I did get a response, by the way. My friend responded to me. He said, ouch. Why are you still on AIM? What year is this?
They
should have purged all my friends. Yeah, I'm going to harass them all now. Suncast, anything coming up?
I'm thinking here. Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
One of my favorite times of the year. But yeah, no, not really. You can follow me on Twitter @Suncast, SUNKAST.
Very cool. Very cool.
Very cool. That Twitter.
Guys, I'm going to continue aiming people now. I just sent Suncast an aim. Just now. I wrote hi. he sent me an obscenity just now. That's what life has become. Guys, go to website.
I sent a dick pic.
You did. guys, go to our website, gfqnetwork.com. You can find us there. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye for now.